The House Committee on Environment and Water for Thursday, May 28th. Our final sort of formal action-taking committee meeting of the session. And I think there's a very good chance we'll be out of here before 5 o'clock. In fact, I know we'll be out of here before 5 o'clock and hopefully well before 4:30. Let's begin with the work session on Senate Bill 38A. And who do we have? Beth, remind us what the bill is about and what has happened since the last time we discussed it.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 38A authorizes the Environmental Quality Commission to adopt rules to require registration and reporting by persons who import, sell, or distribute for use in the state electricity or fossil fuels. You have in front of you three sets of amendments, the 38A-6, A8, and A9. The -6 address only the issue requiring the department to evaluate funding mechanisms for such reporting or registration. The 8s make changes to the reporting requirements for electrical generation, and the 9s combine the 6 and the 8s. And you should also have fiscal and revenue statements on all three amendments. Okay.
My preference would be to move the -A9s into the bill as they combine what I understand to be two consensus amendments, the 6s and 8s. I have not heard anything to the contrary from the folks who've been involved in the work on this bill. So I certainly want to give anybody who has concerns about the bill an opportunity to speak now, but not having heard anything, anyone with issues, I'm prepared to go ahead and move this bill forward with the -9s. Okay. Let's get a motion. If Representative Bernhardt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the -9 amendment to House Bill, or Senate Bill 38.
Representative Bernhardt moves the -9 amendment to Senate Bill 38. Is there discussion?
Only, if I may,
yep.
I have a question.
Yep.
I think that this is a gut and stuff except for the emergency clause.
That's right.
Yeah, that's correct, although it's substantial parts of it
repeat pre-existing
language.
Thank you. That was my understanding, and I'm finished. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Representative Boone.
Yeah, I'm sorry I was late. I was just wondering if Beth was explaining the differences between them all.
Do you want to, Beth, describe the 6, 8s, and 9s again?
Sure. The -8, 6 amendments require that DEQ evaluate a funding mechanism for these registration and reporting requirements. The -8s make changes to the language that requires electrical generators to report or register, and the 9s are a combination of the 6 and the 8s. Puts the two of them together.
Is there any further discussion on the motion, which is to adopt the -9 amendments? Representative Pence.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry, but did you say that this is a consensus?
I have not heard. My understanding, and this comes from the department who has sort of spearheaded the effort on this bill, is that they worked with stakeholders on the amendments as well as the bill itself. I have not. No one has told me that they have concerns with where the bill is headed. There was no testimony in opposition initially. There was an understanding that some amendments needed to be drafted, and we have heard that those conversations proceeded smoothly, and we have before us consensus amendments. Is there any objection to the -9s?
I object.
You do?
Yep.
Okay. Do we need to take a roll call vote now? No. So Representative Gilliam is a no. Otherwise, we have five, and the motion carries. We have six. And let's take a motion on the bill as amended. Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Move the bill 38 as amended. It's to the floor, isn't it?
Yes.
To the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Bernhardt moves Senate Bill 38 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Representative Gilliam.
Just very quickly, we adopted Representative Barnhart's -9s.
They're not mine, but I moved it. Yeah.
They're not your amendments. You just made the motion. I saw the 9s. I'm glad that you reached consensus. I'll be brief. I just think the greenhouse gas reporting avenue is not the way to attack climate change, and I'm a no.
Any further discussion? I would, I mean, I'm very enthusiastic, as I said before, very excited to see this bill moving forward. I think we will finally know as a state what the major sources of our greenhouse gas emissions are. We will close this loophole related to reporting on out-of-state sources. This creates some fairness, a level playing field on reporting, and allows us, I think, to make more considered policy choices with respect to greenhouse gas reductions. So really appreciative of the work stakeholders did on this bill to help it go forward, and glad that we're at this point today. Is there any further discussion? Let me see if we can get Representative Bailey back for this vote, unless I am advised that we are unlikely to need Representative Bailey for this vote, in which case I'd be happy just to move on.
I have Representative Bailey's proxy.
Oh, nice try.
All right, we're going to stand at ease, members. Let's get Representative. Come back to order.
Thank you.
And Representative Bailey, we have a motion on Senate Bill 38A as amended by the Dash 9s. There's been some discussion. There is no known opposition. Sue, if you would, seeing no further discussion, Sue, if you would call the roll.
Representative Bailey?
Aye.
Representative Wyden? Barnhart.
Aye.
Representative Benz.
No.
Representative Moon.
Aye.
Representative Jensen.
Aye.
Vice Chair Smith.
Aye.
Vice Chair Gilliam.
No.
Chair Knapp.
Aye. Motion carries. Senate Bill 38 is on its way to the floor. I will carry it and close the work session on Senate Bill 38. I will open a work session on Senate Bill 596A. And Representative Beth, why don't you remind us of the bill?
Senate Bill 596A is the bill that would expand the list of flame retardant chemicals that are designated as hazardous substances to include decabrominated diphenyl ether and prohibits the introduction of any product containing DECA into commerce.
I want to acknowledge for the record a letter that I think was emailed to committee members last night, perhaps yesterday at some point, from an attorney at Stoll Reeves, James Westwood. Also want to acknowledge a letter that you have before us from Legislative Counsel, Dexter Johnson and Doug Tukey. Both of these letters are in respect to the constitutionality of the bill. The letter we received yesterday indicates some concerns about its constitutionality. Legislative Counsel advises us in this letter that their conclusion is that this bill is constitutional. In view of the controversy related to that particular question, as well as some other potential outstanding issues on this bill, I have asked the speaker to allow us to send this bill to rules, and I would take a motion on. I would take that motion, Representative Smith.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 596A to the floor with a due pass recommendation that the bill be referred to the Committee on Rules.
Representative Smith moves Senate Bill 596A to the floor with a due pass recommendation that it be referred to the Committee on Rules. Is there discussion? Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just quickly to say, I was hoping that we could discuss A4s. We're obviously not going to do that. And in light of the two conflicting legal opinions, I think to me, obviously, if they were in agreement, they would be a little more clear. But to me, that just shows this bill does have problems, which you have acknowledged, and you want to work out in another committee. But my advice would be this bill needs more work than either committee in this time frame can afford it, and we ought not to pass it. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Gilliam. Well, with respect to the amendment, I actually was considering, if we had been moving this to the floor, was considering and planning to move that amendment into the bill. Given that it is now going to another committee with some new questions raised, I wanted to give them sort of as clean a version of the bill as possible, allow them to consider that amendment in light of the legal arguments that have been raised, and therefore had concluded it would be sort of less helpful rather than more to adopt that amendment today before passing it on to the Rules Committee. Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I respectfully disagree with the Vice Chair. I think that the Speaker pro tempore, who is also the Chair of the Committee, the Rules Committee, may very well find the time, as his title suggests, to manage a bill such as this one.
Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to thank the chair of the committee and the speaker for once again finding a way to beat up on me in light of the fact that I've taken a whole bunch of pounding by lobbyists so far on this bill to refer it to a committee that I also sat on. I got Act Two, Scene Three. So my appreciation for training exercise that I'm going through on this, and I'll look forward to it. And if you have an amendment, I might as well carry it on for you down there, and I'd be very happy
I'll
to
get it for you.
take a few more shots from the proponents and opponents of the bill.
Absolutely, Representative Jensen. We look forward to your advocacy for this bill in the Rules Committee with the amendment that we'd be happy to provide you. So thank you. We'll be keeping in touch, because I do hope, to Representative Barnhart's comment, I do hope that and do expect that the Rules Committee will take up this bill and get it in a form that it can that it can pass and be good policy for the state. Representative Benz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had hoped, and I wanted to thank you and the committee for attempting to put together an amendment after our last meeting. I thought that was an excellent effort. And but for the DuPass recommendation, I would be perfectly happy to join in moving this to rules. But with the DuPass, I'll be a no vote.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, Sue, will you call the roll?
Representative Bailey.
Aye.
Representative Barnhart.
Aye.
Representative Benz.
No.
Representative Boone.
Aye.
Representative Jensen.
Aye.
Vice Chair Smith.
Aye.
Vice Chair Gilliam.
No.
Chair Kent.
Aye. Motion carries, and Senate Bill 596 will go to rules. I will close the work session on Senate Bill 596. We have one more bill before us. Senate Bill 76. I'll open a work session on Senate Bill 76. Been a subject of a lot of discussion in this committee and in the Senate. Appreciate the work that's been done on it. And Representative Smith, do you have a motion on an amendment?
Are we in work session?
We are.
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the Senate Bill 76A21 amendments dated May 28, 2009, and I'm happy to speak to those to the extent of
Representative Smith moves to adopt the dash 21 amendments dated 5-28-09, and Representative Smith, why don't you tell them about the tell us about the amendments which you may have before you, which you should have before you, committee members, the dash 21 amendments.
Hopefully people have those in front of you and have some memory, pleasant or otherwise, about the discussion. Although some people were really excited, you know, came afterwards very pleased with the conversation that we all participated in. In any event, I know that wasn't unanimous. The concerns that were raised were, we know based on the agreement in principle and this bill, what happens if the cost of dam removal are $200 million or less. We know, providing what California does, what happens if the cost of dam removal are between $200 and $450 million. We don't know fully what will happen if the cost of dam removal exceed $450 million, except the parties will confer and that we may address that in the final agreement. Been told repeatedly there is no route to Oregon taxpayers, and this amendment tries to make that eminently clear. It says very simply that it not only does not authorize the expenditure of public monies for the removal of Klamath River dams, but does also not create a cause of action to do so. I will say that I would have liked to make this bill, as everybody knows, contingent upon resolution of the unanswered questions and resolution of the final agreement, etc. But ultimately, the tiebreaker for me came down to three matters. First, believing that the risks of, and to the state, of inaction outweighed the risks of this action, particularly as amended. Second, the amendment and the governor's office's willingness to work with this branch and our pestering, or at least my pestering, questions. I want to say for the record, I think the process should include that. Somebody said to me that it was chaos, that you know this process was more chaotic than other states, and I believe it should be principled chaos, at least if the other choice is greased skids and interest-driven order. I value the amendment process and want to honor it, and I appreciate the governor's office very much in participating in that, although I know it took more work than they had budgeted for and created extraordinary efforts, and I deeply appreciate their efforts on that. And finally, the amendment makes it clear and on the record and in statute, and through this testimony, I hope, and maybe further testimony on the floor, that Oregon taxpayers intend to pay no more. Hopefully, that could strengthen the hand and the negotiating position of the governor's office as they move to find and reach final agreement. They can say, see, look, Oregon won't pay, and we need assurances that someone else will, such as the federal government. So I hope that we will move these amendments, and with that, I will be comfortable voting in favor of moving this bill to the floor, and happy to say more if that would be helpful. I should say one other thing, that is the governor's office also offered to report back as final agreement and PUC processes move forward, and I think that's also helpful as we learn more facts. The legislature might want to do other things.
Thank you, Representative Smith. Is there any discussion on this amendment? Representative Bernhardt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe the amendment takes care of the concerns that I expressed the last time we heard the bill, and I intend to vote for it if the amendment's approved.
Thank you. Representative Benz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A question possibly for Representative Smith. The conversations that you had in crafting this amendment, did they address the concern that was raised in our last meeting, which was the state's exposure, regardless of its statement here that it doesn't want to spend any more money, to liability nonetheless?
I will say that I think that the answer to that ultimate question will not be able to be fully answered until final agreement is reached. I think that what the conversation we've had on the record and following that, the addition to this amendment will do is make it ever clearer to other stakeholders in this multilateral negotiation that not only does that question need to be answered, as the agreement in principle already flags that it needs to be answered, but also that the Oregon legislature and the state of Oregon thinks that question must be answered, and that the answer to that question must not be the Oregon taxpayers, and that ultimately, in my own view, have to not only embrace some audacity of desiring amendments, but also humility and understanding that we are one piece of this negotiating puzzle, and sending that strong signal, I believe, will help us get to a place where that question will fully be answered. But to answer your question very briefly, no, this doesn't fully answer, what if there is a mess and we are asked to clean it, and nobody else will? If that isn't resolved in the final agreement, we'll find out. Now, I have had in those conversations been delivered relative confidence that Oregon is not the most likely requester or requestee, not the most likely source. We rank well below the federal government, given the FERC process, given that it is their federal dams. And so I think, and began my questioning even with a sense that the risk of going to Oregon was very low, and as fiduciary, still wanted to mitigate that risk as much as possible. With this amendment, I think we have mitigated that risk even more so. I don't believe that risk has reached zero. Hope that that risk does reach zero by the time final agreement is reached, but do believe that that risk is slight enough that action here, the benefits of action versus the cost of action, outweigh the net cost of benefits of inaction. And I don't, I know that you had some of the same questions I do. My guess is your legal analysis of what this does and doesn't do would be similar to mine. Your policy analysis of where that lands on the relative risks and benefits of, how we should land in a vote, for instance, might be similar, might be different.
Representative Benz.
Thank you for that explanation. I'm guessing that if the matters were as clear as you have suggested, the issue of allocation of responsibility would not have been delayed. It would have indeed been addressed in the agreement in principle. It was not. That would suggest that there was enough of a lack of certainty to delay the matter until later, which would suggest no one really knew. And so I don't share enthusiasm for this amendment. It seems to me that the allocation of risk has not been addressed and should be before we proceed. And it seems only right, in fact, that it be appropriately allocated before we proceed. I don't know, in fact, why it's been put off. The only reason I can think that it's been put off is because people are fearful of the unknown and they didn't want to allocate the unknown. So there's been a push-pull between, well, why don't we just start it and find out how much it is, then we'll talk about it, which I really fear. And then maybe there was a lot of, well, we can't reach agreement on this one, let's just put it off, because it's just too tough. And that's no excuse for allocating risk to the taxpayer or, for that matter, the ratepayer.
So I am not enthusiastic about the amendment and the lack of a solution, although I do appreciate your efforts.
Find my own hunch, and by the way, this discussion has been at least intellectually gratifying to me. I don't know that in a context as contentious and as challenging as the Klamath Basin has proved, that anyone is leaving this process with a sense of enthusiasm. My own impression is that we will leave this negotiation battlefield set of policy questions, in our best case, with a sense of relief and confidence that we have done the best we can. And that is all that anything we are doing is getting me to, is a confidence that we're doing the best we can and better than the alternatives. And to some degree, this will come down to trust to our executive department to resolve the questions. And I am hopeful, and forgive the repetition on this, but I am hopeful that this amendment and this discussion will make very, very clear to the stakeholders, not only does this question need to be answered, but it ain't going to be us, and we will have at least done some duty in our announcement as part of that multi-announcement conversation.
Representative, thank you very much for your attention. And again, I do appreciate the thinking and the effort. There's a huge space between policy on the one hand and liability on the other. And in fact, it's obvious to a lawyer like me who has practiced for 32 years and constantly forced to address the law and the lack of forgiveness in it on the one hand, and comparing it to the activities we engage in every day in the policy arena, which is there's a lot more slack in it. And frankly, the question becomes, is this a policy matter or a liability matter? To me, it's an issue of the liability of the taxpayer, not policy. And so we must, in my opinion, approach it with great care. And I know you've given it your best effort, and I appreciate it. Unfortunately, it's not final, as it has to be in an agreement of this nature, because we're dealing with huge exposure to liability. And everyone knows that. I mean, $500 million is a pretty big number. So having said that, I appreciate the effort. It's still a policy solution to a litigational problem.
Mr. Chairman, with one last thing. I actually want to issue an invitation, and this is similar to the invitation that was offered me, and that is for you in particular, however you vote on this, to join me, or at least make sure I go, to watch, participate, testify at some level in the PUC process, because assuming that maybe it doesn't go forward, but assuming this goes forward, it is not the last step, nor is it the last step that we could have some influence in. And I think if there were not only, you know, some youthful Democrat, but also a 32-year experienced Republican asking similar questions, asking for similar resolution to those questions, however is the resolution of this bill, that might actually aid in the next stage of the process, because I know the PUC is going to have to deal with this.
Is there further discussion on the Dash 21s? Representative Barnhart.
I have a question for Representative Bentz, I think. When I agreed, and I need to preface it a little bit, when I agreed with the conversation that you and Representative Smith had the other day about this bill, I thought what we were talking about was the potential liability of the taxpayers in this situation. I think today what you're discussing is that there's no final solution on the allocation of unknown costs, which is a different issue. Do you believe that the Dash 21 amendment doesn't deal with whatever liability we have not yet accepted? Obviously, no bill is going to prevent us from being responsible for whatever liability we already have without the bill. What I was trying to make certain that we got to was that this bill did not in any way increase whatever potential liability the state of Oregon might have, and I think that's what this amendment does. Do you disagree with that?
Mr. Chair, thank you for that question. Having enjoyed the opportunity to review the 21 amendments for the past 15 minutes, the short answer is I don't know. But maybe a slightly longer answer is the hope that there's no authorization for additional money being spent
is just that, a hope? And the question would be, what liability would flow from the activities anticipated under this agreement, under this legislation? And the answer to that is, I don't know. So what you try to do is head it off with agreement, in this case with a piece of legislation saying we refuse to be responsible for any more than this. And does that work? I don't know. I hope. Mr. Chair, I do want to point out again, as I think I've done most of the time, is I do have a conflict in this matter. I do represent claimants in the climate adjudication process, and I want to make sure the record is clear on that.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that answer. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I find this, personally, this liability question incredibly interesting, and I've concluded that there is, I think, no way legally that we can preclude the possibility of liability for the state of Oregon based on actions that may be happening for agreements that will be entered into years from now, or months from now, and potentially years from now, and actions that will be entered into years from now. We don't have that power sitting here. We do, however, have the power to keep a close eye on the process, to invite those and ask those, the governor's office in particular, to come back and report to this committee, this legislature, on the process, and to take whatever actions may be necessary, including invalidating, or at least opening up to the possibility of invalidating an agreement if the legislature was to review it and say, this is unacceptable. I mean, this is not the last time, the last opportunity this legislature will have to explore the issue related to the Klamath Dams. And while I understand the anxiety and have shared the anxiety about allowing this process and sort of approving this process to move forward, it is just that, moving forward, taking step 3 of 30 that may result eventually in the removal of the dam. So I recognize the uncertainty. I think that uncertainty is necessarily there, and am committed personally to following this closely and talking about this again in 2 years, seeing where we say a year from now or 2 years from now, and asking these same questions, seeing what the answer is then. So I think it's not the last time that we'll be visiting this issue. Further discussion on the Dash 21s? Seeing none, Sue, will you call the roll?
Representative Bailey?
Aye.
Representative Barnhart?
Aye.
Representative Benz?
No.
Representative Boone?
Aye.
Representative Jensen?
No.
Vice Chair Smith?
Aye.
Vice Chair Gilliam?
Aye.
Chair
Cannon. Aye. Motion carries. Dash 21s are accepted. Is there a motion on the... Another motion.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 76A as amended to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation.
Representative Smith moves Senate Bill 76A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I may be imagining this, but I'm pretty sure I heard last week or the beginning of this week that there was a development in the full bill before this amendment, not counting this amendment, that something had happened and the tribes did something or said something or agreed to something. And could someone refresh that memory? I don't think it's been discussed.
I don't know if anybody on the committee is aware of Representative Benz.
No. If I may, Mr. Chair, I was going to address this issue possibly after another amendment had been offered, which I believe Representative Jensen is going to offer. But I can go ahead and address it now if you wish.
We're in a motion on the full bill.
Whatever I want. Okay.
And we are discussing the full bill. If you have a response to Representative Boone's question or some comment.
A fairly complicated matter, and one that I, from the standpoint of a lawyer looking at it, what I'm about to say is much more policy directed. I'll simply say that the adjudication, which has been going on for some 25 or 30 years, anticipated filing of claims and then the allocation of, or the decision making by an adjudicator to determine the relative priorities of all of those claims. Oddly enough, that adjudicator is lodged in the Water Resources Department. in the basement. I know him well, Dwight French. He's a great guy. At the same time, the Oregon Water Resource Department is charged with the duty of managing all of this process. And so it's a bit odd because the Water Resource Department is supposed to be, on the one hand, charged with regulating a basin when, of course, it can't, not having a set of rules in place in absence of a completed adjudication. The challenge then over the past 25 years has been, on the one hand, to try to figure out how to regulate an unregulated basin with all these conflicting challenges, while at the same time managing an adjudication and all the complexities that go with it. Some of the major players in the action entered into a stipulation of conditional withdrawal of water users' contests and some of the tribes' contests last, I'm going to say Friday, I think it was May 14th, was when some of the signatures are dated. The entering into this agreement may have an interesting impact on the overall adjudication because it incorporates another agreement that is going to be, in essence, supported by the bill we're passing today. And so, oddly enough, if we trigger the process that's anticipated by the agreement in principle by passing this bill, we will be supporting, if you will, the conditional withdrawals of claims and agreement that was signed on Friday. What this translates into is a molding or shaping of the outcome of the adjudication. And that is incorrect, and that is wrong, because the adjudication is a matter of law and affords each and every participant the opportunity to make their case. What's happening today, if we pass this piece of legislation, is to impact the adjudication, which is wrong, because even though the outcome for many may be negative in the adjudication, the fact of the matter is it's the set of standards that everybody must live or die by. And I find in these situations where you sit down and negotiate an agreement, there's never an end to it until you can look at, in this case, the adjudication and say, that is the foundation for what will finally happen. What's happening here when we pass this bill, if we pass it today, is basically incorporating or supporting an element of the very settlement agreement that was entered into on Friday. And that's to, I'm afraid, encourage the final outcome of the adjudication. Some people have said shape. Other people have said effect, impact, direct. And so I think that is not what we should be about. And we should not be trying to affect that adjudication in this fashion. It's a complex matter, and many would argue that the settlement agreement entered into in the form of the agreement in principle is the right result. The trouble with it is, sadly, is it doesn't include everybody. Certain people are left out, and whether it was by their own fault or by design, I do not know. But the settlement agreement does not include all, and thus anything we do to encourage the settlement agreement today is to unfortunately negatively impact the adjudication. That complex matter, I believe, Representative Boone, that is what you may have heard about having occurred. That is the signing of a portion of a settlement between the Klamath tribes on the one hand and KPWU on the other. I apologize, Mr. Chair, for not having a clearer understanding of it.
Thank you, Representative. I respect your work and thinking on this. There are a nest of issues associated with this 15-year project that may result in dam removal, and they are intertwined, and that is quite clear. It is also clear that this bill is much narrower than that nest of issues. This bill authorizes the PUC to establish a surcharge on Pacific Core ratepayers, and that fund will be developed over time and used potentially to support dam removal, potentially to support FERC relicensing, and I am certainly not willing to get hung up on the adjudication, the broad set of the thicket of water-related issues in the Klamath. I think we're dealing here with a much simpler and much narrower bill than has been suggested. We're also talking about an agreement, a final agreement, that has not yet been shaped. And while this piece is necessary in order to give life to the final agreement, this bill, Senate Bill 76, does not constitute a final agreement between the states of Oregon and California, the federal government, and Pacific Corps. So I understand that, our actions here and our words here have an impact on other things going on in the Klamath, but I have to ask the committee to try to confine itself to the mechanisms that are adopted in Senate Bill 76 and the protections that we afford the ratepayers of Pacific Corps, and via this amendment, I believe, the taxpayers of Oregon. Is there any further discussion? Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, question. On page 7 of the Agreement and Principle Act, it states that Oregon will support federal legislation that has not yet been written. That's kind of like signing a blank check, I think, but maybe I'm wrong on that. But my question is in regard to that. What will be the goal of this yet unwritten legislation? And B, what assurances are there that this unwritten legislation will be limited to the scope of what's understood today and not include additional caveats?
I will invite representative of the governor's to address the question. I again would urge the committee to deal in the world of knowns, and in this case the knowns are the mechanism that Senate Bill 76 sets up to create a fund for potential dam removal or dam relicensing. I do, however, acknowledge that this passage of this bill is one of the conditions necessary for moving forward on an agreement. We have a potential sort of agreement in principle, and Mr. Carrier, you're welcome to introduce yourself and try to address Representative Jensen's question.
There are three, Mr. Chair, for the record, Mike Carrier, Governor Kungoski's Natural Resources Policy Director. There are three things that are contemplated in the federal legislation. The federal legislation would first clearly authorize the Secretary of the Interior to undertake the study, the analysis, and the determinations necessary to reduce all the uncertainties and answer all the questions that have been identified in the committees that have heard this bill. Secondly, the federal legislation would authorize the transfer, at least in the current version of the agreement in principle, the transfer of the facilities at the date of removal to a non-federal dam removal entity. And it was contemplated when we developed the agreement in principle that possibly in lieu of the federal government being responsible for removal, there would be a third-party dam removal entity designated to do that. The third thing that the federal legislation would provide is protection from liability for the company after it transfers ownership of these dams either to the federal government or a dam removal entity. And those are the three things that are contemplated and that we will advocate for in the federal legislation, and no more, Mr. Chair, Representative Jensen, no more than that. If the federal legislation goes beyond what Oregon contemplates and we believe becomes adverse to Oregon's interest, we certainly will reevaluate whether we want to continue participating in the agreement or whether we would even advocate for that federal legislation.
Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Carrier. The same page of the agreement in principle also goes on to say that the legislation will provide immunity from environmental liabilities. How do we...
Mr. Chair, Representative Jensen, that's in reference to, that's specifically in reference to the immunity that would be afforded by the federal government to the company after it transfers ownership of these facilities and someone else takes responsibility for ownership and removal of those facilities and any consequences.
Representative Jensen.
We can go on. On the same page, it also states that no person or entity contributing funds for dam removal shall be held liable solely by virtue of that funding for any harm to persons, property, or the environment. So if there's environmental harm resulting from the dam removal, who is liable?
Mr. Chair, Representative Jensen, that is the very question that we have committed to addressing as we complete the final agreement, as we talk about the role and responsibility of the federal government in this. It is the central issue that the Secretary, in making his four-year analysis and determination, will address as to what are the potential environmental risks and liabilities, and do they outweigh the benefits of dam removal.
Representative Jensen.
Mr. Chair, I would like to offer the Dash 15 amendments to the to House Bill 76 as amended.
Standardies. Order. Representative Smith.
I move to withdraw my motion.
Representative Smith moves to withdraw the motion on the table, which is the motion before us, which is to, which was to move Senate Bill 76 to the floor. So the motion is to withdraw the motion. Is there objection to withdrawing that motion? Seeing none, the motion is withdrawn. Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And my apologies for confusion. And my apologies to the chief clerk for having to come away from her office to on this last hour of this committee to get me straightened out or the committee straightened out or whatever it happens to be. But at any rate, Mr. Chair, I would move the Dash A-15 amendments to House Bill,
okay.
Senate Bill 76. And was it amended before?
It has been amended by the Dash 14s, I believe, and then the 21.
And all right, as amended. Senate Bill 76 as amended.
Okay. Representative Jensen moves the Dash 15 amendments to Senate Bill 76. We're getting a copy of it now. I've not seen it before. And Representative Jensen, I want to give you the opportunity to explain what we have before us.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Very simple amendment. It's just notwithstanding any other provision of law, the State of Oregon may not enter into an agreement relating to the removal of the Klamath River dams that exempt or that is contingent upon the exemption of a person, a non-governmental entity, or a governmental entity from liability under any provisions of the Comprehensive Environmental Response Compensation and Liability Act of 1980, the Endangered Species Act of 1973, the Federal Water Pollution Act of U.S. 33 U.S.C. 1251, the National Environmental Policy Act of 1969, or any other applicable federal or state law.
Discussion on the motion?
I'll defer to Representative Boone.
Representative Boone?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Has anybody else seen these? Has there been any discussion with any other of the stakeholders with these?
I have not seen them.
Thank you for your patience, Representative. I think there are some people who have seen it. It was my understanding that the chair would have seen the amendments, and my apologies, for that too. The amendments were handed out to the staff prior to my coming in the room, and therefore.
And to be clear, my statement of not seeing them, I did look over Representative Benson's shoulder when I before the committee began. They have not been in my possession until this moment.
Mr. Chair, I would not consider I would not consider that having seen them. I think there's no reason to offer that as a policy or as a reason for your statements.
Representative Bernhardt.
I'm at a loss to understand what the point of the amendment is, and I wonder if Representative Jensen or someone else could explain it.
Well,
why would we want to add this to the bill?
Representative Barnhart, thank you for that question. I think that's a good question. I think principally the thing that I'm concerned with in this, we've spent a lot of time, we spent a lot of energy in this and in previous sessions dealing with the whole issue of environment and environmental policy. We have over the years probably in many ways led the nation in terms of environmental policy and being on the cutting edge, if you wish, of that movement. Representative Barnhart, I would I just not like to backslide at this stage in my
legislative career on this. I would like to ensure that we're not doing anything that would be somewhat contradictory to what our policies and procedures and efforts have been over the past 15 years that I'm aware of.
Is there any further discussion, Representative Benz?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we all can agree that the bill that's before us is the first step in the process we are, some would hope, would ultimately result in the removal of the Klamath dams. And the agreement that reflects the means of that occurring contains a series of exemptions from liability under various environmental laws, those of which that are called out in this amendment. The question is, do we as a state want to allow or want to start that process where we, in certain instances, allow exemption from these environmental laws? You can imagine that those of us in the farming and ranching community who bump into these at every turn of, at every opportunity, I'm going to say, every grazing permit, every other types of situation out in the real world of ranching and farming, these laws are constantly used as devices to prevent activity on the land. And yet, here we have them being having an activity that the larger population may enjoy, that is removal of dams. Suddenly, they're exempt from this process, these laws. Why is that? It seems wrong. So this amendment says we can go ahead and do this, but we can't avoid the very laws that apparently we're trying to maybe make work better. I'm not sure what the right word for it is. The word I have heard is, well, we'll relax these laws, these standards, for purposes of a greater good, that is, removing the Klamath dams and restoring the fish runs. Well, my question would then be, who is it that decides that we're going to relax these laws, and when are we going to do it? This amendment suggests that these laws will not be relaxed. They'll be applied as they're supposed to be. That's the purpose of the amendment.
Representative Bernhardt.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I get the point of the proposal. I think it's overbroad, if that's the point of it. It would seem to me quite reasonable for an agreement, the final agreement, to designate that someone who's actually responsible for the deconstruction of the dams to be responsible for compliance with all of these various statutes, but exempting everybody else, for example, from that requirement. This provision would prevent the state of Oregon from entering into that agreement, even though all the environmental laws were going to be carried out or followed, but only the deconstruction agency, the one that was actually responsible for the deconstruction, would be required under that agreement to comply with these laws. I understand the point that I think the proposal has, but I don't think they get there with it.
Thank you, Representative Barnhart. Representative Smith.
This may merely underscore, but I'm with Representative Barnhart, and I'll appreciate the intent of my perceived intent of the amendments. Is that this might actually cut against us resolving the question of liability because, based on my first blush reading, it would prevent there from being an agreement that said X will be liable, and because X is liable, Y and Z are not liable. And because we could be, based on this, because we wouldn't be able to do that, the only kind of suit, that there would never be an agreement, so we'd be inviting lawsuits, and those lawsuits wouldn't be able to be just on one party who we knew was responsible, they would always have to be on folks jointly and severally liable. And I don't know that is, I might be interested, and I don't need it if it's not helpful to others, but the Attorney General's smart man who is here in the room, if you want to offer any thoughts on this. But anyway, my guess is this would be a barrier to resolving liability rather than something that would help us resolve liability.
Felix. Very enthusiastic about the possibility of coming up and sharing
this general cheerful visage as we normally see.
Paul Graham, Oregon Department of Justice, and again, I'll state that the DOJ does not have a position on this bill. I'm simply explaining the legal aspects, and I'm just looking at these amendments for the first time. What strikes me as a lawyer, though, is that this amendment lists a lot of federal laws. There can't be an exemption under any of these federal laws unless the federal laws are amended to create the exemption. Oregon's signature on a document is not going to exempt anybody from these federal laws. That's my short answer. And by the way, as Mr. Carrier explained, the purpose of the language in the final agreement is to protect the company from liability after transfer of the dams, and that in turn protects ratepayers from potential liability. It's not to protect anybody else.
Representative Benz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Realizing that you just had a very brief opportunity to look at this amendment, if I could draw your attention to the fifth line, it says that it contingent upon the exemption of a person, fourth line, that exempts or that is contingent upon the exemption of. So the point here is, indeed, the federal government has been asked to exempt these folks or entities from liability. So I don't think we're anticipating that Oregon has that power. It might have the opportunity to possibly allocate responsibility or possibly hold people harmless from. But you could, we as a state could certainly condition our agreement and have, apparently, to the federal government stepping up and exempting certain entities from liability. This is what the amendment says. Do you agree or not?
Mr. Carrier may want to come up and address this question because it has to do with what is in the final agreement or what may be in the final agreement. But my understanding is that there are several steps that have to be taken before the Klamath dams will be removed, that all this bill does is to tell the commission, start collecting money in the event the dams may be removed. That's all it does. It does not deal with liability in any way, shape, or form. So the bill that's before you has nothing to do with liability. If there is something to do with liability, that may be dealt with in the final agreement. In fact, I think will be dealt with in the final agreement, and if it's not dealt with satisfactorily to the state of Oregon, my understanding is the dams won't be removed. So I'll turn it over to Mr. Carrier, and he can talk about what parties are contemplating for the final agreement, because that's not part of the legal aspects of this bill.
Mr. Chair, Representative Benson, I'm not sure I clearly understood your question, but I will start out by saying that this amendment is clearly aimed at disrupting any progress that we make with the company going forward on any amendment. This is a poison pill amendment. I'm just going to say it very bluntly. This is not a productive, and it's not a helpful amendment. The agreement in principle contemplates immunity for the company only after it transfers ownership and responsibility for those dams. That is the only thing the company asked for with regard to immunity from liability, is they didn't want to be tagged for something that happens after they give up ownership of the dams. The agreement in principle also includes Exhibit 1, which is a very robust set of prescriptions that the company is going to undertake and agree to be compliant with the very acts that are mentioned in this amendment. So the federal government is going to be the ultimate authority here. The Congress is going to be the ultimate authority with regard to any granting, either an amendment of existing law or any granting of certain rights or privileges or protections under new law. And that is a federal decision. I just don't see how putting this condition on Oregon's participation in this agreement going forward does anything but thwart and harm our efforts here.
Thank you, Mr. Carrier. I think we've taken this discussion far enough, and I would ask Sue to call the roll.
The motion is on.
Motion is on the dash 15s. I urge a no vote. Representative Sue, would you call the roll?
Representative Bailey?
No.
Representative Barnhart?
No.
Representative Benz?
Yes.
Representative
Boone?
No.
Representative Jensen?
Aye. No. Aye.
Vice Chair Smith?
No.
Vice Chair
Gillian? No.
Chair
Pierce? No. Motion is defeated. I will accept another motion on amendments or whatever have you.
I got another amendment.
Yeah.
Any other motions? Representative Bentz.
It's not a motion so much as at some point we have to make a suggestion for a minority report. And is this the proper time to make that
I believe.
Notice, give that notice?
After we've acted on the
Representative Smith.
What do we say? Oh, okay. Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 76A as amended to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation.
Representative Smith moves Senate Bill 76A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Just to note, committee, I think I'm correct in saying that we have adopted two amendments into this bill, the Dash 14s on May 21st, which were a consensus amendment developed around the same time the bill passed the Senate. ICNU worked with Pacific Corps, the governor's office, and we adopted that amendment some time ago. And we today adopted the Dash 21s that Representative Smith presented. So, Representative Smith has moved Senate Bill 76 as amended to the floor with due pass recommendation. We've had some discussion already on this motion, but we can take some more before a final vote. Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had forgotten about the Dash 14s, and I'm pleased to note that among the costs of removing the Klamath River dams, on line 13 of the Dash 14 amendment, it includes compliance with environmental laws, apropos of our most recent discussion.
Representative Jensen.
Mr. Chair, I suppose it would not go meet with good favor on the part of the chair if I moved to adjourn.
Any further discussion, Representative Smith?
I apologize, but the one thing I meant to make clear before is to some degree, when I was thinking and praying and wondering and consternating about this, I recognize that some of it was a manifestation of trust in the future of the process, and somebody who has worked hard on this and other matters, and I didn't think he was going to testify today, but it was Mike Carrier, and some of my personal support of this has to do with my faith in his negotiations going forward, and appreciate your involvement up to now, and go get him and bring us home a decent deal. And I also wanted to say something to the people in the Klamath Basin that I can't imagine what it would be like to have my local fortunes buffeted by these issues. I have genuine recognition, but don't know if I can have genuine empathy about that. What that would be like. And I'm glad I don't need to answer the question of whether or not to remove the dams or whether or not to relicense them, but didn't want this to go forward without at least acknowledging that while we debate legalities and policies and national agreements, that there are lives in the Klamath Basin that have been impacted by actions well before us and will be impacted well after. And I apologize for everything you've had to go through.
Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, Mr. Chair, I'd like to thank you for your openness and your actual facilitating the discussion here, though it may have been hard on your blood pressure. I'd also I'd like to thank Mr. Carrier, and my apologies to him if he perceives this bill as a poison pill. I think I could have done better if that had been the real intention of what I wanted to do with it. So I have commented about being extremely impressed by the dialogue that has taken place here. Been just one of the highlights of my career in this legislature, listening to the exchange back and forth on the part of the certified smart people on our panel. My congratulations to you, Mr. Chair, and to all of the proponents and opponents of this particular measure. I will be voting against it, but it still is a genuine appreciation for what you've done with it.
Thank you, Representative Jensen. Representative Benz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I want to join Representative Jensen in his remarks about your managing the hearing, not only this one, but all of those that we've had during this session. You've done a great job, and I had a lot of opportunity to watch people, and truly I mean it. I do want to say a couple things about this bill. And first,
I greatly appreciate people's efforts to enter into settlement agreements in situations of this nature. I want those that work so hard on the agreement in principle and all of the folks to try to work their way through the almost impossible situation in the Klamath. And I, as a lawyer, understand the value of mediation and settlement. It's a wonderful thing, and I encourage it at every opportunity. The challenge in the Klamath is slightly different, though, and the missing element of the settlement are the folks that weren't at the table. And again, I want to point out that it may even be their fault. It may not. I don't know. But that when you leave people out, then those people only have the law to fall back upon. And the law in this instance is the adjudication and also, of course, those that we just addressed in the failed motion. I am not certain that those folks are going to be better served under the adjudication than they will be under the settlement agreement. I really don't know. But the one good thing about the adjudication process is that it's final, and there's no going behind it. It's kind of like bankruptcy. It's that last card. And thus, to the extent that what we're going to do today is going to circumvent that process or in any way mold it, shape it, weaken it, that's unfortunate, because that rule of law is everything to folks that weren't at the table. And so I appreciate the efforts of settlement greatly, and I'm happy for those that were that are going to be benefited by it. I'm very worried about those that are not, and I will be a no vote.
Thank you. Is there further discussion? My comment would be to express real appreciation, sincere appreciation for every member of this committee for their hard work and their engagement on this issue. It has been a real privilege to be at the gavel for these conversations. I think it reflects, as challenging and as frustrating even as it has been at moments for me, it reflects the very best of the Oregon legislature, where committees really do bear into a bill and take up the policy details and discuss those in a very robust way with considerable public testimony. I'd also also have real gratitude for the folks, especially Mr. Carrier and representatives of the governor's office, Pacific Corps, the folks who've worked on the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement, for their role in helping shape this. I think we, to echo to some extent Representative Bence's comments, we do have an opportunity here with this settlement agreement to bring some measure of peace for many members of many residents of Klamath, and to echo a bit of Representative Smith, it is not easy, and I share his concern for what this may mean for the Klamath, but also sort of guarded optimism on what we may be doing to this river system and to this basin in the years to come, and the real benefits that the settlement agreement and the hydro agreement and potential removal of the dams may bring to this region, which has been so troubled by water policy over the years. So I really look forward to continuing to engage in this process. It's years and years away before any of these resolutions are reached, so there will be ample opportunity for that. But thank you to the committee in particular for hard and good work to improve this bill. With that, Sue, will you call the roll?
Representative Bailey.
Aye.
Representative Barnhart.
Aye.
Representative Bennett.
No.
Representative Bullock.
Aye.
Representative Jensen.
No.
Vice Chair Smith.
Aye.
Vice Chair Gilliam.
Aye.
Chair Cameron.
Aye. Motion carries. Senate Bill 76 goes to the floor. I will carry it. And with that, I'll close. Yes.
Minority report.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Beth. Yes, notice of serves notice of Representative Beth serves notice of possible minority report. And with that, I will close the work session on Senate Bill 76. What other business do we have before us, Beth? Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My understanding is that this is likely to be the last meeting of this committee.
I believe we will join Senator Dingfelder and her committee for a joint hearing in the week after next? Or is it next week?
Next week. Next Thursday.
Senator Dingfelder is widely known to throw ragers. Widely known.
next week. It may otherwise be the last meeting of this week.
May I say on the record, before we adjourn, that I greatly appreciated serving on this committee under your chairmanship. I think it's been a very productive term, and appreciate the efforts that you and other members of the committee have made.
Thank you. Seeing nothing further, we are...
Mr. Chair, I've already made some comments to this effect, but I would like to make them more generic to the entire committee, or to the entire session so far on the committee. It has been truly a pleasure and a privilege of mine to serve on this committee with you as chair, and with all of the members that are here. It's a good thing I didn't sit on the committee with this level of ability when I first came as a freshman. I probably would have, scared me out, and I never would have been back. It's really been a great committee, and it's been a learning experience for me, and thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Jensen. It's a honor to serve with you and your leadership, both in this committee and on the Ways and Means Committee, which you chair and I serve on, has been inspiring and gratifying, so thank you very much. Seeing nothing else, we are adjourned. Thanks.